There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Welcome to episode 81 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. What is potential? Do we have potential as individual humans, as a group of humans, or as a mass consciousness? How does potentiality fit into the mechanism of physical reality? It turns out that physical reality is a mechanism, and the purpose of the system is to bring forth the potential of anything into a tangible, manifested thing. If all thoughts and ideas already exist, then those thoughts and ideas that have not yet been in our personal reality exist as potential. Our role as human creators is to bring forth the potential of something we desire into our reality. This is what Isabel's question was about this week, and Joshua's answer was so interesting, I thought we would spend the episode talking about this very leading-edge subject. On the roundtable today, we have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Hey, Gary.
And Mark Shahada. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Gary.
And Isabel Zimmerman. Hi, Isabel.
Hi, Gary.
Well, this was your question. So what was your question? How did this whole question start?
So Astrid has a Facebook page that she channels an entity named Laurel. And a lot of it is very leading edge, like you said. And I was reading what she channeled, and I realized I needed more of a clarification, that I wanted to understand this concept that seemed familiar, but in a different perspective.
And what was that concept?
The concept was about potentiality that I never really had heard before. And it's really about your authentic self.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And as we go along in this Joshua thing, we see that channeling is a natural ability and that everyone can do it. And as people get in the one-on-one program, it seems like for a lot of people, the end result of that is their ability to channel themselves, channel whatever it is themselves, whether that's their inner self or like Joshua is a group of teachers. And Astrid, who was on question number like 160 at the time when she was about to give up, where Josh was telling her this whole time that you have these unbelievable talents and abilities that you are not bringing forth yet, that you have this potential that you have intended prior to your birth here, that the reason that you chose this pretty difficult, you know, childhood and being in this culture that's very repressed is to create this desire to come forth as your superpower. In her case, her superpower was being visible. She was leading a pretty invisible life. And just at the time she was about to quit, she has this inspiration for the first time ever to do a personal one-on-one with Joshua. And that was just released like last week. So you can listen to that on Podbean. But it was episode 39 or something. Anyway, you'll see it. It's 40. Yeah. So it's Astrid's one-on-one with Joshua. So at the end of that, which if you listen to it, it was a pretty cool one. Mm-hmm. And she didn't get anything out of it. I mean, she was furious afterwards. She was so pissed off. She's like, what a waste of time this was, you know? And so she's about to quit the one-on-one. She's been in it for 9 months or something. She's about to quit. And then it turns out that she had prepaid by accident. You know, she kept paying more than she should. Oh. And so she's like, when's my time up? I'm like, well, you've paid through June 23rd, like 2 months in advance. So anyway, so she asks a few more questions, and then something flips inside of her, and she goes, I think I'm going crazy. This stuff's coming through me. So she sends it to Joshua, and Joshua goes, no, you're not going crazy. This is your potentiality coming forth. This is what you were here all along for. This is what we've been waiting for, this whole thing. And so she starts receiving messages. She realizes that her entity's name is Laurel, L-A-U-R-E-L. And she says, this is the stupidest name ever. <laughs> You know? Why would Laurel? I looked up Laurel. Laurel doesn't mean anything. And then Joshua says to her, well, Laurel is a term for distinction and accolades, oh, wow, and things like that, right? Rest on your laurels, cool, that sort of thing, right? And so she keeps going and going, and then she channels other entities, but this whole Laurel thing, and then now she's speaking.
Yeah.
So if you want to go to Astrid's Facebook group, it's private, but you can just
request.
Yeah, go to the Friends of Joshua page, or, you know, go to the website, and we'll hook you up with Astrid. But anyway, so she's been posting these things on her Facebook page, which is a closed group, and that was one of the things, was this potentiality thing. So let's...
Well, you know, I have to say something about that, yes, because she's done a couple of private messages for me, mm-hmm, and you guys, I see her. It's her. It's not Laurel. It's Astrid. It is Astrid. This is Astrid. This is who she is. This is what she does. And it just, I have like major goosebumps. I start crying. It's her. I'm so thrilled. I'm so thrilled for her.
Yeah, it's exciting.
She's,
I mean, especially
she's
for her,
struggled,
where,
yeah,
you know, it was like this potentiality just waiting to,
yes,
come out, you know?
Waiting to come out.
Yeah,
and her example, her desire, you know how Joshua says, you know, if your desire is huge, then you can even push past, even if you have fears, that, right, that can propel you. And I think in her case, that was true, because she had these, I just remember like the week before she did,
yeah,
it, she,
yeah,
was like asking, how do I do this? Damn it. You know, she,
yeah,
you know, her, it's desire true, was huge.
And yeah, it's a true testament to the one-on-one program.
Yeah.
Because, oh, I don't, yeah, know if she would have ever gotten to that point had she not been able to just pound and pound and pound those questions until,
yeah,
she got to a point where she felt,
yeah,
important.
Yeah, she was one of those people, too, that would ask 1, 2, 3 questions a day.
Ah,
and I would, yeah, just get to the ones I could, and then she'd say, well, okay, forget those last questions, and here's another 5 questions, you know. So she,
right,
really probably, yeah, asked 300 questions. You know, we got to about,
yeah, which is incredible. I think that's a certain thing that it takes to be able to do what she's doing now, just throwing the questions out there. Like with me, I would overthink my questions, and I would take forever to type them, you know, and I wouldn't send them if,
yeah,
I didn't think they were good. And so, yeah, the fact that she was able to just throw the questions out there and then be like, oh, you know what, I actually don't need that one anymore.
Yeah,
I think she's doing the same thing with her channeling now, where she's pushing past these fears and just putting the information out there, even when she's afraid that it might be bullshit or afraid that people aren't going to like it. You know, she's just... go with it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, about the one-on-one, I mean, it totally makes sense if this is something that somebody has a desire to do, because what you're essentially doing in the one-on-one is asking questions and they're receiving answers from infinite intelligence. And that's,
right,
all that channeling is, you know,
right,
but you start sourcing it from yourself. And so what I found and what everybody finds is that you, in the beginning, you're asking these questions and you're getting these answers. And then by the end, like you've said, Gary, like you're answering your own questions and you get to compare them with infinite intelligence, you know, that you have like built up this trust relationship with. So then when you start getting these messages from yourself, it's easy to doubt them. But when you have this source that you trust, it's like, yes, this is exactly,
yes,
what we think.
Exactly.
You.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Joshua stays artificial. At Joshua stays where you're at. I mean, I always feel like they push me up a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. But
right,
then this huge thing where I'm like, what? What are they talking about?
Right.
I mean, it's always just a little bit, little bit, little bit. And, okay, I got it. And then I can do a little bit, little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because you can't get more than you're vibrationally ready for anyway.
Yeah.
So all they're doing is bumping you up a little bit vibrationally so that you can just get this little new thing. And then, and then now you're 100 questions into it, you look back at the first questions and you say, well, I'm a completely different person than that person
right
there.
Oh, yeah.
I understand things from a whole different point of view. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But don't get discouraged if things keep coming up.
Yeah.
It's just you got to go a little deeper each time.
Well, it's like this layer of an infinite, layers of infinite onion, you know. You just keep peeling it away and you never get to the
infinite onion.
Infinite onion.
Yeah, infinite onion.
I wonder if that domain name is available. InfiniteOnion.com.
I'm gonna write that one down.
And we're all onions together.
We're
in the onion patch.
Well,
another thing I was thinking about Joshua, I've been poking through questions that are available and looking for quotes and things like that. And I'm just continually amazed at how their message is tailored specifically to each person that they're talking to. And at the same time, I get so much out of it. And so does every reader. And that's, I mean, it blows my mind, even though it's not anything new.
And at the same time, so consistent. You know what I mean? I think, oh, this question, they're going to say something different. Oh, we're going to catch them. This one, nope. It's like steady. Always the same.
That always blows my mind, too, is that when I go back, I mean, I think that I've evolved so much, and this message from Joshua has totally evolved over the 3.5 years. You go back to the look at the first things ever written, it's exactly the same. You know, it's the same leading edge stuff. There's, you know, it's just as brilliant then as it is now. Mm. It's just that we were not aware of it back then. You know, we're just more in tune with things now.
And if I go back and read questions again, it's like, oh, I didn't even see that the first time.
Always really happens.
And listen to the podcast again. It's like, I didn't hear that. They didn't say that. And they did.
Yeah.
That's, I don't think I've grown the fastest I've ever have in my life. Doing these one-on-ones, and I'm slow at it. You know, my questions come in slow, and then I read it, and then I just sit with it. You know, but I've grown really. I mean, it makes you, and you know, sometimes it is the answer would be a little step, but sometimes you know you're stretched too. You're not too much, but you're stretched,
and
sit with it a little bit.
Well, and a lot of times the questions are. They're forceful in their answers.
Yes.
And we're like, I'm like a little nervous about those ones. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like calling your bullshit out. And then they're answering questions in a way that they want. And they don't give a shit about what you're asking.
Right. You know? Yeah, but that's so funny. I just start printing them out. I print them out because I get so frustrated. I just like throw them across the room. That's bullshit. I didn't want to fill my phone or my laptop. So.
Oh, yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's such bullshit. They don't know.
They don't know.
I was like, oh, my God, they're so right.
So while channeling is happening for a lot of people, and it's a natural thing and it's great to have, it's not like that is the goal of the one-on-one. It's really to help you get aware of how physical reality really works so that you can use that to just allow what you've intended and what you truly desire to unfold. Yeah. So there's another big difference is that the way we were brought up causes us to believe that we should go out and get things done, right? And we should have these desires and then set these goals and go for them. And what Joshua is saying is that everything you truly want was intended by you before you were born. And that if you just allow things to unfold without judging everything as going right or wrong, just allow it to go and be patient, then everything that you really want is going to come through. And that's the stuff you truly want is the stuff that is really going to make you feel good. And since this is a feeling reality, you know, that's how you evolve and expand through the stuff that you've intended. So you don't have to birth all these desires and go get them. Like this desire to be a channel was never in Astrid's goal set, you know, to-do list, right? She never expected this ever. But this is the thing that was intended prior to her birth, and this is what she's getting the most satisfaction out of, and she will continue to do that. But it's, you know, but whatever it is for you, that will come out for you. It'll come out like a pimple. Right? It'll erupt.
Excuse
me, could you give me a date on that? Because I'd like to put it on my calendar.
Yes. Are you in a hurry, Wendy? Is there somewhere you got to go? You got to be somewhere?
Yeah, there is. I just need to know.
Yeah. That's up to you, my dear.
I know. Kicking and screaming.
Kicking and screaming all the way to your joy.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like you know you're going to get to Disneyland.
Yeah.
But you just hate every road that takes you there.
Exactly.
This is definitely the wrong way.
Why can't I just teleport now?
Right.
And then you get to Disneyland and you're like, is this really Disneyland? Exactly. I'm not sure this is Disneyland.
Yeah.
I think there might be like better Disneyland somewhere. Can we just go to that Disneyland?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So did you see the... I can't remember which one this was, but Astrid asked a question like, is this real, this thing she channeled? And then she posted parts of it on her Facebook. And she goes, it was about... What was it about?
Was it the message from...
It was about sort of about teleportation, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Oh, and energy moving, right?
And moving energy, right. So in her message from whoever, it was like, I think it was the Arcturians. Is that right?
Arcturians, I think. Right.
Arcturians, sorry. Excuse me, Arcturians. See, this is the leading edge conversation, everyone. We're gonna go into places.
No, right.
Wait, is it Arcturians or Farturians? I think.
Arc.
I thought it was Farturians.
I drove by Area 51 yesterday, so you know.
Sorry.
Okay. So anyway, Arcturians. What are Arcturians? Does anyone know?
They are beings from another. They're aliens.
Aliens.
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that we
right?
have that,
Isabel.
Clear.
Isabel, is that right?
Yeah. That is correct.
Okay. So we're going there.
Get another ready. Dimension. Let's not call them aliens. They're just beings from another dimension.
Okay.
Because we're totally aliens.
Exactly.
It's just your perspective, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Joshua never gets into aliens at all, really. At all. You know why? Because I like don't want to, you know. Yeah. Let's just keep it where it is. It's crazy enough. But anyway, right. Since we're here. Since we're here.
Crazy enough.
So the Arcturians are...
Did you just call me crazy?
There's nothing you don't know. Okay, you're
Thank
just
you.
Resisting the label.
Thanks for that validation.
So anyway, the Arcturians are talking about energy. And the whole thing is that the energy that we believe is, you know, around us. We see gasoline turned into a motor that drives a car, you know, and that's how we're using energy. Or, you know, oil that's turned into electricity that powers a light. You know, we're thinking, and sun that turns into, now we're seeing sun, you know, going and turning into electricity and wind and waves and all kinds of things, right? Well, there's all kinds of energy all around us, and it's the energy that's contained in the empty space between the things, between the molecules, in the molecules itself, between the protons and the neutrons and whatever else is going on in molecules. Mostly empty space, right? And all that is stored energy, and then we can release that energy easily, and within a little while we'll be tapping into that energy, which will power everything. Also, we will be not needing food like we need food now. And this is something that's coming up all the time, that the food, as we see it, build up beliefs about it, but eventually the food will not even be necessary, and a lot of people will not eat the way they eat now. I could sort of see this too, because, you know, all the fears that we adopt are adopted through this, you know, ancient times, really. You know, the fear of being an outcast is a fear of, if you're in a small village and you're an outcast, that's a real fear. Well, we carry that fear with us. This fear that we need to eat, you know, and all these other things, is just stuff carried with us. And if we can break through these belief limiting beliefs, even though we don't think that it's limiting, I mean, we learned recently that calling yourself, you know, labeling yourself good at anything is also limiting, right? So even our beneficial beliefs are still limiting beliefs. So if we open up these beliefs, anyway, then so energy can be formed. And they were saying that if you took water is the easiest one to look at, and you took a drop of water, you can manipulate that drop of water. Somehow, we don't know how, but that you can separate it from a puddle, that you can bring it back into a puddle, that you can create a bigger puddle, you know, by turning the moisture in the air into the puddle, I guess, all mentally. Anyway, that's all a possibility. Then they talked about you can, just as easily as you can walk from here to there, you could transport yourself from here to there. And Joshua has hinted on this too throughout, saying that what you're really doing when you're walking is you're entering one dimension or a million dimensions or a billion dimensions with each step, right? And because that's your belief system, you can walk from here to here. And like now, if we want to drive somewhere, we just get in our car and we go there. Or we set the intention to go there and we get there, right? And what we're doing by driving is just moving through all these dimensions until we end up at the time and the dimension where we intended, right? And that time and space dimension is really an illusion, but it has a vibration to it. And so you could, if you knew that vibration, you could just pop right there. That's all there is to
it. Is it accurate to say that the car is the device that helps you?
Yeah, right. Like, helps you believe you can get there, right? The airplane is the device. Now, to us, the idea of just popping in somewhere is beyond belief. We can't believe it. We don't believe it. It's not possible. But the same idea as us getting into a tube and flying across the country is like totally accepted now. 200 years ago, it would have been preposterous to come up with that idea, right?
No one
would
Bashar talks about time travel, and he talks about it as far as property. So, like a location and a time is there's properties, and if you want to be able to travel to a different location, I mean, this is very high concept stuff here, but you if you know the properties and you can figure them out and you set them, then boom, you're there, type of thing.
If you know the vibration of the time and the space, then you can get there straight. You can just go into that dimension.
Yeah.
And so that what that just reminded me of, I mean, this idea of the car being the device. You remember when Steve was talking about he was on that trip back from Mexico and how he sort of zoned out and just completely missed the border crossing or some security checkpoint or something? Yeah. Like he just was in one place. And then when he was aware, the next point, he was like hundreds of miles or however long down the road. And so that happens too, you know, so we think that, oh, we just zone out while we're driving. But what if that's a point where we just don't need the car as the device because we're completely in the flow?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now to even get weirder, they talk about when you lose time, you know, have you guys heard about when they talk about that's alien abductions? Like, you know, they abduct you, you go into, and then they do what their experiments on you, and then they make you lose time, and then you go back. I mean, you hear that a lot, and you're hearing that more and more.
Yeah, how about if they're not doing experiments, but they're downloading? They're downloading to you information.
That's a better thought. a better feel.
Yeah. Well, what is better feeling?
They know everything we know.
What's better feeling? A better feeling thought that they're downloading information to you that you can bring forth, or that they're doing anal probes. Which one's better?
Depends on who you ask.
depends on the alien.
Depends on the probe, actually. We digress. Hey, should we even publish this podcast? I don't think we should. This is going to be the end of our careers.
This is the best one ever.
This is the best one ever.
Maybe we'll get fired.
Yeah.
Happy for this one.
We're going to say like 6 million people, 6 million people, 6 million people, 3 people. All right. So anyway, so there's more to this happening here, and we're just being led to these little potential ideas. But so the idea is that all ideas, all thoughts exist. The ones that exist that we know about, right, like cars and planes and stuff like that, have been somehow brought forth from somebody from the non-physical to the physical, right? The idea for the cell phone was brought somehow from, well, you know, look at electricity or the telephone or the internet. Big ideas. Or Bitcoin is probably the biggest idea that's brand new. That's almost brand new. I mean, there was some kind of e-cash before, but it was such a revolutionary new idea that someone had to download that idea, right? Was how you first.
Yeah.
Then once they do it, it takes a certain time of adoption because we have to get up to a vibrational match to it. And still, I would say most people aren't a match to the idea of Bitcoin. But in 20 years, everyone will be, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And as people become a match to Bitcoin, then they start taking other pieces from it, and they develop other coins or other uses or other use cases. It's like the internet. You know,
right.
When we first had email, we're like, what could you even do with this? This doesn't make any sense. I have a mailman who brings me my mail and my packages every day. Why do I need email?
Yeah.
And now we can't even imagine email, and we think that the post office is ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, what
like
about
the letters
that
come in the mail. Why does this need to come in the mail? Why does this need to come in the mail? That is just stupid. Why do I have to write a check and take it to a building, you know? I put it in some building. Yeah. It is so I have to drive my car and get to through a billion dimensions, trillions of dimensions to get there. It's exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
why do you get to do those things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, but the thing is I don't want to do them, so it gives me this burning desire to come up with a better way. And poof, that desire.
You know, what you just said, it just connected to what you were saying earlier about getting somewhere faster. We're being able to do that, you know, through the internet and communications. And, you know, it's just interesting how it's kind of tied all together in a way.
Sure.
Like we're communication.
Now.
Like everything's going faster.
Can you imagine just 10 years ago, if anyone tells you, you're going to be on a podcast that's listened to by lots of people all over the world, you're going to be at five different, completely located, separate parts of the country, almost equally spread out, actually, right?
Kind of.
North Pacific, South Pacific, Northeast, Southeast, Central. Okay,
yeah,
you five people
true.
Are going to connect every week and make this, and you're going to see each other, and you're going to make this podcast that's going to beam out all over the world that anyone can listen to at any time.
Yeah.
And some people will just love it so much that they can't wait for the next one. You'll get messages saying how much they can't wait for the next one. And you're like, no, that's not possible. That is not a possible thing.
Right.
And even really 2 years ago, it was never a possibility for me either. I didn't sit down and say, I'm going to have a podcast. But here we are. Seriously, this is the number one or number two Joshua podcast in the world right now.
I believe that. I believe that. Yeah, I believe that.
It is. Of all the Joshua podcasts out there, this is right. It's neck and neck with Joshua Live.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
It's insane. Yeah. It's insane. And like one of my best friends is in Norway. I mean, I never even had connection with anybody out of the States. And now I've got people all over the world I can connect with on a very deep level, not just a like, hey, but I mean, if I need something, I know there are people I can reach out to and immediately have a connection. That's just
so.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah,
Chris and Victoria are in London, and they have a home also in the south of France near Cannes. And Chris came over, and we spent a great time. And so they invited us to come and spend some time with them in France. So we're going July 14th to Paris. We'll hook up with Kate and Nikki in Paris. We'll spend a few days there. And then we'll go spend some time in Cannes. And then now from there, we could go anywhere. And we could go to Rotterdam and see Alette. We could go to Norway and see Astrid. We could have Astrid come from Norway to Milan and go there. We can go to England and see a bunch of people. We could go to Spain and see people.
Spain.
It's amazing. Yeah.
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 Go to Spain and see now. So where is Rocky going with you?
No, Rocky is – we're going to have people stay at the house and take care of Rocky.
Nice.
Friends, girls that work with Lily, and so her boyfriend will stay here.
What you're talking about, how everything's happening fast and this kind of globalization, it also speaks to what Joshua says about, and what you were saying earlier about not trying to plan things and not trying to make things happen, to let go and just kind of stumble upon, because things are happening and we have no idea what they are. We think we do, and we think we know how it should be done.
Right.
And we have no idea. And that just says, let go.
Let go.
And let it happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the challenge with that is let go and still participate in life.
Well, here's the thing.
I haven't figured that out yet.
And not panic, like let go, because we're so afraid of the unknown.
Right.
So those of us who were alive in the 80s, basically, we had, you know, there was a lot less stuff going on back then. And so we sort of planned our future and everything.
Right.
But I can't imagine my best friend's daughter is going to college now. What the hell is she going to learn there? You know? By the time she learned it, it's going to be completely obsolete. What she's going to learn is basic stuff like writing, which is good, and speaking in public, which is good, and interacting with friends, you know, mm-hmm. and building relationships, all good stuff. But anything technical for whatever she's doing is going to be outdated by the time she graduates. So it's interesting yeah. now that really, if you're in the younger generation, you just need to focus on what you like in the moment at that day. And then if tomorrow has a different thing you're interested in, just go with that.
I've been encountering a lot of like young people at that age, and it seems like that's what they already do. Mm-hmm. That's what they yeah. do. I mean, there mm-hmm. I've met a few 18-year-olds lately who are at this place where they are going to college, but they are just not at all stressed out about it. Yeah. You know, they seem completely just easy. And I've had conversations with them, and I've said, you know, I've shared my experience of college and how I skipped a lot of classes, but I still got all these things that I needed, you know, related to education, but also, you know, I just down to the littlest things like watching America's Next Top Model, you know, and then like that, how that has, I don't know, communication and like being aware of your presence and like how you're expressing yourself and making sure that it reflects who you truly are. Like those are deep messages that I got from America's Next Top Model, you know.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Just how, yeah, how you can get what you need from anywhere. And so it's been fun talking to them and, you know, sort of sharing this with them. They're like, yeah, I know.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
All right, let's get on to Isabel's.
Welcome to my world, Kyla.
Mm-hmm. Wendy, would you like to read for Isabel?
I would. Isabel, I hope I do you justice here.
Of course you will.
Okay. Hi, Joshua. I think I need your help on this one to understand in the way you explain things to us. This was channeled from Laurel. It is the same message that we are limitless beings of pure positive love that you tell us. I think we are working towards feeling it and knowing it. Laurel mentions this pure potential. Can you go more in depth with that concept? Is that being without persona and ego and fear? Seek the undefinable, the potential, the pure being of all and nothing, and you will find true ease. In this state, you will be able to bring forth what you want and what you didn't even know you wanted with ease. In this state, you will find freedom, and freedom is bliss. In this state, you will no longer feel any need to be what others expect or desire you to be. In this state, you will see that the largeness of who you truly are is also beyond definition. And so you will cease to try to fit into a certain size of expression. If you can capture the freedom in being, in expressing, and in living as potential, and that actuality is only fleeting for the moment and can be changed according to your desires at any moment, then you will find the freedom of being who you truly are, which is limitless and beyond definition.
Okay, so instead of living as the persona, you know, as who we define ourselves to be, we live as the potential.
Mm.
Okay, so the potential then is limitless and beyond definition because it's potential, right? But you don't know what the potential is. It could be anything.
Right.
So we cast aside our persona. The only reason we have a persona is because we think that's what causes people to like us or love us. So that a persona is simply a manipulation of other people. That's all it's for. It's this way to fool people into thinking you're good rather than to actually being good. Because you are good. You can't be anything other than good. You are worthy. You can't be anything other than worthy. You are a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. Everyone is. But the persona is this shell or this veneer, this shiny veneer that makes you look good. I own this business that's well known. And I say to people that I own the business so that they will think something about me, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I say it is because
yeah.
I wouldn't say it if I didn't want them to think something good about me.
Right.
Right? I have this wife that I chose because she represents something good to the world. It makes me look better than me being alone or with somebody else, you know? I got the best shiny wife I could, mostly to make me look good, right? Even though I happen to enjoy my shiny wife, you know. But that's the reason I did that, how many years ago that was, right? And same with her and me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is there really casting away of the persona or just picking away gently and slowly, you know?
Either way you want to do it, you know, whatever yeah. floats your boat. I can't cast away my persona. I catch myself talking about myself in a way designed to make other people think I'm good, wherever that's with poker or, you know, I even catch myself talking about this show, you know, or book sales, you know, like book sales mean anything or this show means anything, you know, it doesn't mean anything. All we're doing is having this great conversation together. Whether people listen to it or not doesn't mean this is a good show or not a good show or that we're doing something. In fact, we're not even doing this to make it a good show. If we were going to do this to make a good show, we'd spend a little bit more than $10 on the equipment that we have here. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you but aren't you more aware? You know, yeah. Aren't you more aware now of your persona?
Yeah,
it's like
sometimes totally.
When I'm talking out, I'm like I'm sitting yeah. back looking, going, oh, look, there goes the persona again, silly totally. Girl. You know?
I think yeah. half of any of this is figuring out, it's being aware of it. You know, that's half of all.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, to me, it feels less like casting away my persona. Like, I don't focus on getting rid of my persona. I do notice when it's showing up, like you're talking about, Gary. For me, it just feels like being more of who I am, yeah. which, and then the persona falls away on its own, just like everything else.
Oh,
like, when you
good.
Be more of who you really are, which who we really are is just love. And right. so if you can just be love in every moment, which is really fucking hard to do, like, you know,
like
the persona just lessons and lessons on its own.
So that is a brilliant.
Because that's what Joshua talks about anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. Exactly right, Mark. That you yeah. don't throw away anything. You don't cast off anything. You move towards what is authentic.
What is and what is wanted, yeah.
Move towards love. That's all, like, that's, I don't know. That's simplified it so much for me. And that's, I feel like when I saw this message about potentiality, it made sense to me because I feel like that's kind of what I've been doing. Like, I've just been seeing what's possible for me, for everybody else, like in living sort of in that state. I mean, to a degree, as much as I can at the vibration that I'm at now. But yeah, and so for me, that just boils down to being love, like being love for every other people. I used to try to stop judging, and then I would judge myself for judging, and I would judge other people for judging. Mm-hmm. And I find that when I just focus on loving, when that's my focus, it's so much easier. Like the judgment falls away because there's no room for it because I'm so full of love for everybody.
Right. Right. Really okay. Well so said. here's a new thing though that just popped up for me because I've really been exploring this divine love, this feel. I just wrote Joshua a question about this feeling that I have of this love that's large. It's not physical love. It's not even of this earth kind of love. It's just this deep love. But in the meantime, I haven't been feeling that love for myself. And that's brought up a lot of things, a lot of, like, I feel like I run into a wall because I'm able to put it out there, but then I don't give it back. So just be aware when you're tearing away that persona to love yourself through that process and,
very good.
And come back to yourself because it all will come back out of yourself. Does that make
and
sense?
Also,
Yeah.
And like love the persona too. That's something Joshua's been talking about a lot too, is like integrating and accepting even the parts that you know, would prefer something different in their place.
Because you can't get it away from you. You have to bring it into you.
Yeah.
You know, everything is into you, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, let's go to the next part of this quote by Laurel.
Okay. To be able to stay in this potential state within the human body while living in this density, that is where the magic is. If you are all, if you are pure potential, then the actuality that you present to the world at every moment is just momentarily. Wow.
Okay.
With love, Isabel.
Okay, so Laurel is showing this idea in a new way that the magic really is in this potential, and the moment is this potential that anything can be. I don't know if this was the answer talking. Does this one talk about the law of continuity?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So that's what we'll talk about here. Yeah. Okay. So Kyla, why don't you go ahead and read for Joshua?
Okay. Dear Isabel, we love the description of potentiality as brought forth from Laurel and Astrid. It is a new interpretation of the idea of authenticity. Authenticity could be described as potentiality. When you become your authentic self, free from fear, with a malleable persona and an ego who finds no reason to defend it, you become pure potential. Because you think you know who you are, you act in ways which prop up and support your idea of self. But your idea of self is extremely limited and is not representative of who you really are.
Okay, so as soon as you start defining yourself, you limit yourself, no matter how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you are a limitless being of pure positive love, then all limitations you experience now are completely self-imposed. Why would you impose these limitations on yourself? Because you believe your persona is accurate, and you live within the framework of that idea of self. You do not move beyond the idea of self due to fear. It's a fear of loss. You believe that if you move beyond your identification of self into something much more magnificent and powerful, others will not accept you for this version of you. Your persona has been crafted through the years in order to coerce others into liking you, respecting you, and even loving you. But what are they really looking at? A limited and preconceived artificial version of you.
Okay, so that's a super interesting idea.
Mm.
Here you are, creating your persona. You've created these limitations. Okay, so I think of myself as a normal guy. Big reason I didn't want to do Joshua is because I'm a normal guy and all my friends will think I'm weird.
Right.
But really, me being normal allows other people to be attracted to this person. That's
yes.
Camel, mm-hmm. Right?
You're very approachable.
And mm-hmm. And if you look at me, so I also have these other things, parts of my persona. I can feel comfortable around people. I can be a leader. I've been a leader in business my whole life. I'm comfortable speaking in public. I like writing. I'm happy writing. Mm-hmm. I'm happy working mm-hmm. alone. I have like to work on things that are big, you know, that are more than just myself. I like creating communities, that sort of thing. All these definitions of myself just happen to fit perfectly within this. On the other hand, they also limit me because I can't move beyond this because I think, you know, moving
right.
far beyond this will be just
yes.
too much. You know, people just
yes.
won't relate.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
I'll lose my friends. Whatever. It's some stupid thing that I have this idea of. And so not only are you contained by the self-imposed persona, but you have a fear of leaving the persona because you think that everything that you've created
yep.
in order to get people to love mm-hmm. you, and mm-hmm. really your persona is responsible for everything that you have. So the
mm-hmm.
house I have,
yeah.
the wife I have, the friends I have, the lifestyle I have is all due to my persona. It created all that. If I cast that away and go into the unknown, then where is that going to lead me?
Exactly.
Right.
Because
and expectations.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say expectations. Everybody is expecting you to be a certain way.
Right.
And so now
you're
going, yeah.
How you perceive that
exactly.
in your perception of it. Yeah.
Exactly.
And your identity. Your identity
yeah.
is so it's so tied to your persona.
Yeah.
So then you lose your persona. Who will I be? Your identity. And it's a scary thought. It can
right.
be a scary
yes.
thought.
Yeah. Sure. And I'm gonna put a plug in here for the Land Cruise because I felt, and I think Kyla and Mark and Astrid, we all kind of felt like on the cruise, it was so easy to be your authentic self. And it was wonderful practice to bring back into your daily life of, okay, I
mm-hmm.
felt that. I know what it felt like. I can get back to that feeling. I can't always get back, but I know what that feels
mm-hmm.
and that's what I strive to get back to. So if you can make it to the Land Cruise, I
yeah.
think you'll understand that because you'll be in this environment of totally non-judgmental, total love, total acceptance. Be whoever you want to be, and no one's ever going to think anything differently. They're going to love the shit out of you.
Yeah,
or they might think something differently, but they're aware that that's their shit and not
yeah.
yours. So,
yeah.
But
yeah.
even as people were being who they really were on the cruise, you really couldn't fault them ever. You could judge them, but that judgment was just something you were aware of for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you could
right.
literally
right.
be
yeah.
anyone you wanted to be on that cruise. And nobody would say anything because they would know inside themselves
right.
that that's just their fear. Right.
Right. right.
That's why
right.
it was so powerful, I think.
And you know, as you just said that, Wendy, it just made me think that, you know, the environment of the cruise was shedding, I guess, roles and persona and identity. Because we're not, you know, we're not with our families. We're not
right.
working. We don't,
right.
you know, and we're just in this kind of a fantasy land where we can, where that's more allowing of that, accepting other people. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you don't have the usual pressures of life and things like that, which is
right.
kind
exactly.
of interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And we can form that in our lives now. And that's what Joshua was saying when we step off the boat. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. When you
yeah.
step off the boat, it's going to be the land that you create.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, so let's go on to the next one.
Okay.
I just wanted to say to Mark, so when I read the answer from Joshua on this question, I cried because
mm-hmm.
I'm personally going through identity. My identity mm-hmm. is tied to
oh,
my
yeah.
persona. And Kyla, when you said, like, you're moving towards love, I just want to let you know, I'm visual, so I imagine myself just gently wiping away my persona to reveal
mm-hmm.
the person inside. I have to see it in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I can kind of go through
right.
the process.
Yeah. That makes
so,
sense.
So every day I wash away my persona. That's my chant.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Who you think you are, as defined by your persona, is false. It is a mask you wear hoping it will appeal to others. It seems to be working because you can look at certain relationships and say, look, these people like me, these people respect me, these people treat me well, and these people love me. That is a wonderful thing, but it is all false. As a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance, you do not need to validate your worthiness through the eyes of others. You are worthy and good no matter what anyone else thinks. What they think is meaningless anyway, because they can only perceive you through the lens of their perception of reality. If they are not being authentic themselves, then their perception of reality is obscured by fear, and so they have no idea who you really are, and they don't even know who you think you are.
A lot of people collect friends because it validates who they think they are. So they have tons and tons of friends, right? But the friendships are superficial. Because, you know, because it's just like you're being a certain person who collects friends as a trophy. And so in order to do that, you have to be this type, right? And then other people will have maybe one or two really close friends, but then judge themselves as not having enough friends. What's wrong with me? And then other people will understand that for them personally, they enjoy the closeness of a few friends, and other people enjoy being around lots of people. It's a different thing. But, you know, you have to understand that no matter how deep your relationships are, it's always based on their perception of you through the lens of their reality. And so you're not really convincing anyone to like you. There's stuff that they are dealing with through their perception too. So it's really, no matter what you guys think about me, it's all done through your individual perception. And so, like, if you just take your mother who looks at you, or your children who look at you, or your mate who looks at you, or your best friend who looks at you, each one has a different perception of you based on who they are. And none of them is accurate, and none of it matches what you think about yourself. So what anyone else thinks is meaningless in that way. So if you're worried about losing these relationships, well, you don't really have anything anyway. You know, and that sounds like a terrible thing to say. But the fact is, what's really going to happen is you're going to deepen these relationships. Because as you become authentic, you know, as you become limitless, you have a fear that you might outgrow them. But that's not how reality works. In opposite, you get more of what you want. And so you get this, I think you will get this deeper connection. Now, I haven't met anyone who has totally given up their persona. But Kyla, what's your experience?
I mean, yeah, I am, the more I move towards love and not for any other purpose than it just feels good, the more love I get back to the point where I have resistance to all the love that I'm getting because I feel like it's too much love and I don't have enough time for all of this love, you know?
Yeah.
And then, So, yeah, I mean, and that's not to say that everybody in life loves me everywhere I go, because this paragraph that we just read, there's a person in my reality who I've interacted with who, you know, I would say doesn't like me around the town that I live in. And I see him all over the place and he has his own fear. And I bring out that fear in him and these, like, I bring up his issues of worthiness. And so he doesn't like me and he actively avoids me. And I have had fears that he's talking to other people around town about me, but I just keep remembering that he doesn't, he only knows his version of me.
Right.
Everybody else that he's talking to, they only know their version of him, you know, and it just, it doesn't matter. It really just doesn't matter. And another idea that comes up is, like, I don't remember if it was Joshua or Laurel or who, but the idea that, because you were talking about loss, we have this fear of loss. And so that's what our persona is to keep these people in our reality. But somebody was just saying that basically as we go from life to life, we have these people that we interact with. And it's essentially the same group of entities that are showing up for us and we're showing up for them in each of our lives. So this perception that we can lose a spouse or a friend or a parent or anything is so silly because we're just, we've done this all a million times, this entire, everybody in our reality, we've done it all a million times and and we'll do it again. For example, your mother thinks of you one way, your husband another way, and your daughter another way. If you could see how each of them viewed you, you would see three completely different versions of you. If they could see how you perceived yourself, they would not recognize you either. So all of this acting to present a nice version of Isabel is false. All of it. Every part of it. You cannot be defined by one word, millions of words, or by the false persona you've created, no matter how wonderful it is. All you can be is your authentic self, and that is a self without the need, fear, of being loved. If you need to be loved, liked, or respected, then you are living in fear, and how you behave is based in fear, not in love. When you disregard your persona because you understand that it can do nothing for you, then you become pure potentiality.
Ah, so once you disregard the persona, then that's when you become pure potentiality. Because without the persona, there's nothing limiting you, and so the potential is to be anything. Okay?
Yeah. There is a universal law called the law of continuity. This law states in part that what you are interested in will lead to other interests, and when you transition to non-physical, you'll continue to be interested in the same things. However, it also creates the illusion that one moment is similar to the next moment. It makes you believe that you who existed yesterday is the same you who existed today. It seems like your life is the same today as it was yesterday. You cling to this in comfort and safety, yet there is nothing safe about it, and you need not be comfortable knowing that everything that existed yesterday exists today. You live a completely different life in every day, and actually in every moment of every day. One moment does not need to lead to another similar moment. If you get caught up in this illusion, you'll find yourself living every day the same, and soon you'll be at the end of your life, never having really lived at all.
Okay, so in this moment, we're having this conversation, we're enjoying this conversation, mm-hmm. right? And then as soon as we hang up and go on to the next thing, it'll seem like, okay, I live in the same house, I live in the same country, everything's exactly the same as it was, you people are still alive, whatever, right? And so you tend to do the same things over and over and over again, right? Because it's just like, that's what you're used to, that's what you're comfortable with. But you could literally leave this conversation and do something completely different. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't need to have any representation to the past or the future or anything that you thought you were. It's just this illusion that this one moment leads to the next moment.
So basically every moment is a different universe. And it could be a totally different universe, or it can be very similar to the universe that you just left from the last moment.
On one, okay, I'm just making sure this isn't from this question. On a question for Astrid,
yeah,
Joshua said to her that she could literally go into a completely different dimension in the next moment. And in that dimension, she has a different body, a different face, and is in a different geographical location at a different time. But the reason she doesn't do it is because she would feel fear. She hasn't learned to process fear enough. And so she would be so freaked out that she would be stuck in that place because that she'd be, have so much fear around it that she couldn't move towards where she wanted. She would be trapped from the law of attraction in that place that she didn't want.
Yeah.
You know? And
also I'm thinking momentum too, right? Isn't momentum tied with a law of continuity? Like the momentum of our beliefs, expectations, thoughts, things like that.
And the momentum causes us to think this is all the same moment. You know, and time going, you know, and everything's moving along smoothly and nothing really changes. And then we have these fear of big changes. So we sort of trap ourselves in this reality because it's comfortable. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's that fear. Mm-hmm. And so as you process fear better, you can just keep going and doing different things all the time and really doing different things. And I think that you can see the broad spectrum of humanity, that there are a lot of people who just never leave the house. And there are a lot of people who are doing crazy, unbelievable stuff, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And then there's everyone else in between.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been doing a lot of this where, like, I've gotten comfortable with the feeling of discomfort in certain situations in terms of, like, putting myself in new situations and doing. So I feel like for me, every day is a lifetime, and every day I become a new person, and every day I'm doing something new that's stretching and expanding me. And that creates more discomfort for me because then I, you know, there's still that, like, tension sort of between the old and the new where I feel like I should be doing something. I should have something to show for. Yeah. Like when people, especially when, you know, it's more limited as I perceive it when the boys are here, but when I'm on my own, I'm literally bouncing all over town, all over the state, going places and doing things and meeting people and having conversations. And I don't have a product that I put forth. But when my friends ask me, you know, what have you been up to? It feels like it's been a year when it's been 3 days. And so that, I don't know, it's interesting because I don't, it's hard to even put it into words, like what I've been experiencing, but it's,
So I was watching Groundhog Day the other day, such an amazing movie. this movie is so advanced. But what happens is, as he was living the life he thought he was living, Bill Murray, he was in this rut of his life. Every day was the same. When he had to live the same day over every time, well, that's when the potentiality starts. Because what could he do in the same day? He didn't ever have to worry about the future. He couldn't die. He couldn't go into the next day. Every day was exactly the same. So he learned how to play the piano. He, you know, figured out a way to get money. You know, he did all these different things that he never would have done before. He and it all culminated, you know, in his desire to win the love, you know, and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But because he was in trap, he learned how to be an ice sculptor. Do you remember that? He was sculpting ice with thing, you know. And they're like, everyone's blown away. How did you do this? You know. He goes, yes, I'd like to learn how to play the piano. And so the first day he goes, and the teacher's in the middle of a piano lesson, and he goes, well, I'm in the middle of a lesson right now. Can you come back? He goes, no, I can't. And like gives her $1,000 and kicks the kid out. You know? And so for the piano teacher, it's like every day is his first lesson, but he gets better and better and better every day. But to her, it's his first lesson ever. And then that night he learned and he's playing with a band up there at the party. But so that, so we sort of are trapped into this, you know, limited life because we think our future has to unfold a certain way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and to a certain extent, we can't just, I mean, we actually could just get on a plane and go to Paris today if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But no, I got to plan it. We can't do it until July. You know, it's got to make sure everything's taken care of, all this stuff is done.
Yeah.
What will people think? Nice to have a job.
We got some big concepts today.
Yeah. All right.
Big concepts.
So let's go on to the last paragraph here.
All right. You came here to expand through experience, but what you're really doing is living the same day over and over again. You are living life in safety and comfort. You are not expanding as you had intended when you cling to fear, hoping others will like you. You are beyond that. Care less about what others think and move gracefully and purposefully in the direction of your true desires. Create an authentic life by giving up your fears and your attachment to what other people think or to what others think. You can't lose anything because you don't really have anything yet. All you have is scraps compared to what you would experience as the authentic and fearless version of yourself. You think you are liked, respected, and loved now, but you have no idea what that really feels like. Ask us more about this and we will refine the idea of potentiality for you. With our love, we are Joshua.
So, Isabel, that was exciting answer specifically for you. I felt like it was for me and for everyone else, and I had to realize that this was specifically for you. So that idea that you've created this wonderful life which you have with your daughter and your husband, but yet it's just scraps compared to what the potential
is. Right,
Isabel, can you talk more about your reaction to this? You said you cried and all that. Tell us more about like how it hit you.
So I did cry. I felt this message very personal. So that's great that you guys are getting a lot out of it. But it really was, what did you say earlier, Gary? Like sometimes they not hit you over the head, but they kind of hit you over the head a little bit.
Yep.
And I know that I'm going through something right now. Like I sense it. I feel it. I've been crying a lot. I never cry, guys.
Really? Wow.
It's a release. You're releasing.
Yeah,
there was a full moon last night. My friend was just telling me the full moon is great for releasing.
Oh, yeah. We got to ask Joshua about the summer solstice, too. Yeah, that's coming up on June 20th.
But yeah, that's so it's interesting that one line where they try and push your buttons there, that all you have is scraps, so there's really nothing to lose, right? You know, so you take everything so seriously that everything you have.
Does that make anybody else sick to their stomach?
Well, they're not demeaning what you've created. Yeah. They're just saying compared to what's possible, the potentiality of what you can.
Is out there. I saw it in a positive light. I didn't take it as anything negative. I took it as there was a previous question that I wrote to Joshua, and I said, I feel like I'm going through a birthing process, And when I was giving birth to Madeline, I, again, I don't cry. So I had like these little silent tears rolling down my face while I was going through labor. Mm-hmm. I'm just very like in traumatic or stressful situations. I'm just like really quiet and focused and I can direct people. But anyways, that's just maybe because my mom is the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you chose that.
I birthed desire.
Does your mother
be different than her?
Does she just freak out?
Oh yeah, totally freak out, panic mode, running around in circles with the chicken, you know, her head off, you know, the whole thing. So, anyway, so I was sitting on this little yoga bouncing ball while I was going through labor. So you have to be dilated, basically. So that dilation period. And so like little tears, like Dr. Phil was on the TV and my husband's next to me and like everyone's going through their life. And I'm just going through like this experience, this experience, you know, my first child. And like little tears are rolling down my face. And I went to the midwife and I said, excuse me. She goes, yes. And I said, why does it hurt? Why does it hurt so badly? And she like looked at me like, really? You're asking this question? And she's like, so she gave an answer. And I'm like, no. I need to know. Like, I need to know why. Like, what is happening with my body? What? Why? And she got it. And then she said, oh, your bones are moving very quickly in a short period of time. That is the pain. And I mean, oh, thank you. Okay. Now I understand. Because that's what the contractions are, is actually moving of your hip bones.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Allow the baby to go down the channel.
Wow.
So that's the why. So when you, pregnant women, hopefully I'm not scaring anyone, absolutely beautiful. That's what's happening. So I asked Joshua. And so I was in a lot of pain and on the live call, which is not posted yet, my teeth were in like a lot of pain. And Joshua said, no, hold off going to the dentist. And so I went through it and my teeth are fine now, guys, just so you know.
Oh, good.
I went through it. And so I wrote to Joshua and I said, Joshua, it feels just like the same thing. It feels like I know joy is on the other side, but I'm going through a birth. I'm going through a birth, aren't I? And they wrote back and they said, yes, I'm going. Wow.
And I think they said something like that, just as you didn't want your daughter to come too soon or too late, that there's no rushing this either. You know?
Yes.
And is it also a death to the old self? Is it also that too, that we're all kind of going through? A death, a birth, a death to the old self and a birth?
So
letting go.
The idea is that, you know, we may mourn a death, and you could say you could mourn your persona, but since we know that, I mean, I don't mourn people anymore, because I know that they're just going to non-physical.
Yeah.
So I'm not mourning had I given up my persona, which I have not, I would not mourn that. I would be, you know, thinking of it as going to another dimension, going to a more advanced level, more going towards what I ultimately want.
Yeah, I would say since you can't lose anything, it's more of like an integration of the persona, like integrating it into where love just wraps it up and sort of it transmutes into love rather than, because you can't lose anything.
Very good.
Nothing goes away. Like Joshua says, even our like limiting beliefs never fully go away. There's still like a tiny seed of them there, but they just want our desires to become.
Cool, guys. Well, this was an amazing podcast. Probably the best one, not only that I've ever been a part of, but that has ever existed in the history of the world before.
I agree. In my professional opinion, I think you're right.
Yeah. And I listen to a lot of good podcasts, but none of them holds a candle to this. Some of them may sound better. I'll give you that. But they won't be at the leading edge. That's for sure. Nobody talks about aliens as well as we do. And anal probes. Okay, so until Joshua Live, until next Joshua Roundtable, I hope you guys all have a fantastic weekend. And if there's anything anyone wants to know, just go to the website or go to joshuateachings@gmail.com and drop us a line, and we'll be happy to hook you up on the website, put you in the newsletter, talk to you about the land cruise, and I would say answer questions, but there's like 90 questions in the queue, and I'm not getting to any of them really, one or two a week. So, but have a wonderful week, and we will see you again next time. Bye-bye!
All right. Bye! Love you guys!
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.